So first things first, yeah, if you can just introduce yourselves and also, yeah, and your mother as well.
Okay, so my name's Yvette Carnegie. I was born here in Newport, South Wales. And my mother is Gina Carnegie, and she was born in St. Elizabeth, Jamaica in 1940.
Okay, okay. Can you start by there, telling us a little bit more about St. Elizabeth and what that era was like for your mum?
Well, as far as I know, it's a very rural place where she came from in Horton, the Covia district. I've not seen much evidence of a farmland, but there is farming around there. I know they do a lot of peanut growing, and they do a lot of fishing in Black River. So. When my mum left school, she worked on a market stall where she would repair clothes and sell clothing with her mum, you know. So yeah.
And even before that, was there a time she spoke about that childhood, about the type of things that we do as a child?
Well, yeah, she used to have to go to school as normal children would do. Came home and she had her chores to do. They'd be cooking on the weekend. They'd be cleaning, you know. So and she came from a big family. So
Well, how big is the family?
Well, I'll tell you now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. She's one of 13. So
So essentially, even as she's learning to prepare food, and then she's learning of how to cook in bulk, and she's learning the traditions and things like that.
Exactly.
As well. Does she ever speak about certain traditions in terms of food, in terms of customs, in terms of
I'm just trying to think now. I know I know she used to talk about her one of her elder brothers, because he lived over here, my Uncle Sam, and he was a bit lazy, and when he was not doing her chores, she would have to ensure that he did his chores, so that otherwise they'd all get in trouble. I know she did a lot of cooking when she was younger, you know. She had to help prepare food because it was a big family, like I said. And of course, usually the boys left school early so that they could go out and work to help bring money into the for the family. So yeah, you know. So.
Does she have a favorite thing to do?
She used to like. She used to like singing, if I believe. Yeah, so she used to like to sing, mm-hmm. You know. And she would. I think I believe she said she would be singing around the house as well.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. So. Mm-hmm.
Anything else that came from, like, was there certain family traditions that would happen as well? Like every year, was there a certain gathering where?
I'm not sure to tell you the truth. I can't ever remember her saying. I can't remember ever talking about Christmas in Jamaica. I can't even remember. But I know there was she had an Auntie Gladys, which I was lucky enough to meet, and I believe she did say she used to join them at Christmas, for the Christmas dinner. They'd go to church and then they'd come back and then they'd have a meal, but not necessarily turkey like we do over here, but yeah, you know, yeah.
And Speaking over here, where did that come about? How did that come about in your mum actually?
Well, my mum met my dad in Jamaica, so she was with him, and then he decided to emigrate over here, and then she came over 3 years later, and they got married over here, and that's when they had me and my sister and my younger brother.
When was that? What's the year that your mum and your dad came?
I'm not too sure. I've got no years as to when they actually came. All I know is that she met my dad. He came over here, and she came 3 years later. I'm not exactly sure which year. I got a feeling my dad came by late 1950s, and she might have been coming. She might have come over in like 1960, 61, perhaps, but I wouldn't swear by it.
Mm-hmm. Did they speak about any expectations at all?
Well, they heard that Britain was the place to come to find a job and earn money so they could send back to their family in Jamaica, you know, but of course things didn't work out like that, you know, so it was tough going, you know. And my dad was lucky to find a lovely landlady who put him up in a room, because he came straight here into Newport and found a place down in Pill. So yeah, he was really, really lucky, you know. He's one of the first house owners in Pill as well, because he managed to buy his own house, you know. So yeah.
So from Jamaica, it was literally straight to Newport, straight into Pill as the first ever house. Wow, that's incredible as well. Because that's to set not just the tone, but the environment as well. But there's that's going to come afterwards too, and a lot of those doors being open. Was there any certain memories even after you were born, or even between you were born and now, any memories that were shared around that time of coming into Newport and what Newport was like?
Well, they found it cold and wet, wasn't it? It's like and of course there was the racism as well. So the Jamaican community tended to stick together. I know, like, my mom found Christianity in Jamaica, but she came here and she went to this one church and she felt really isolated, despite the fact that they're supposed to be Christians. She didn't what does it say? Didn't like it. She, like I said, she felt isolated. I know she talked about that. And then so she ended up moving churches. Somebody suggested go to this other church where she was welcomed, you know, despite the colour of her skin, you know. So yeah, she found work fairly easy. She worked in a helium peat factory, an ironworks factory. So then she left there to go to and work in St. Willis Hospital, and then she worked there for many years before she moved to Royal Grant Hospital then. As a nurse then, yeah.
Okay. And how about your father as well, the Ryanton?
He came over here, and I know on my birth certificate he said he was an apprentice engineer, but I think when my mum fell pregnant with my sister, which was literally about just under 2 years later, then he couldn't manage on the apprenticeship money, so he found he got a job as a bus driver. I'm sure he said there was like three of them doing their test the day, and he was the only one to pass because he was determined to pass because he needed the job because he needed the money. So it's like, and so that's the way he saw it. So I know he did. He also had memories of driving, because I remember looking at his driving license and thinking, oh my gosh, he's got every, you know, their letters on it. Okay? He's got the only one he didn't have was for, I think it was the over 50cc motorbike. But I'm sure if he put his mind to it, he could have rode the motor, because he used to ride a motorbike, remember, in Jamaica. So, so he had every one of them bar that, because he drove the lorries that when they were building the M4 to cut the dirt and on the stone were out, you know, from one place to another, where whatever needed to be cut moved around. Mm-hmm. He used to do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
okay. And did that stay as well as you were born? When were you born?
You said you're older. 1963.
So then your sister's been born and your second born.
No, I'm for my sister.
Your first born, and then your sister's born afterwards. Did that carry on as well? Were you able to see some of your father's enthusiasm when it came into the work ethic alongside your mum as well? Were you able to see some of that work ethic?
Because they worked really hard. They you know, what was the saying they used to say? Or something about you know, it's got to run for you to work hard. Or I can't remember the odd, because they used to have these Jamaican sayings, and they worked hard. I'm just trying to think. What, luckily enough for them, back in those days, like my dad, he would work in the daytime, and my mum would work like in the evening time. So either one of them would be taking care of us, you know, because they couldn't. In those days, you couldn't find babysitters to take care of the children. So they had to work it out, and luckily, like I said, luckily for them, my dad would work in the day, and I'm sure he used to finish about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and my mum would then go off to work 5 till 9 in the evening, you know.
And with that in mind, when was like family time? Was there an opportunity where you would all be there?
Usually, if I remember rightly, the weekend, Saturday, maybe Saturday, and definitely Sundays, because those days, as you could say, religion was stronger in those days, and you know, shops would be shut. You wouldn't go. You wouldn't find a shop open, you know, and things like that. So, because Sunday was seen as a religious day, a day of rest, and I'm pretty sure. So Sunday weekends was most, weekends, because like, they would go out in the evenings as well. Sometimes we'd be left with like my auntie, when we. They'd take you in turns to look after, all my cousins. We'd meet in one house, and then they would go out, and then they come back,
alongside kind of family connection, was there? Do you remember a time your mum was telling you about Jamaica and teaching you about Jamaica in terms of the customs or the way?
She would encourage us with our schoolwork. I know that because one of the reasons they came over here is to make sure that we benefited from the education system, and also, of course, we had chores to do. We were taught to cook, just generally work hard, and yes, there was time for enjoyment, but at the same time, it was all about making sure we did what was told, and we don't be rude. We had to respect people, make sure that we followed instructions, basically.
Do you feel that was a form of like preservation of your identity, of who you are, and what grounds you?
Because we. Jamaicans, they're strict, but it always respectful, you know, when we meet, it don't matter who it was, whether it was auntie or uncle or another a Caribbean member, the older, we had always showed them respect,
How do you feel about that? Now as well, I'm like, it's connected with your mum anyway, but teaching you about those traditions and customs. How do you feel about that with the new generation now?
Well, the new generation have lost it. They're not interested in it. They got their own things to be doing and things to be worrying about, and therefore they're not interested in traditional and coming together. The community feel. Is getting lost, because I remember growing up in a community, and I knew most of every black person in Newport at the time when I was younger, Now, I don't know the youngsters because they don't mix with the community, if you see what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah.
They might come, I might see them at funeral, you know, but I might not see them again for a few years again, you know. Whereas, like, when I go to a funeral, I see loads of the community that my age and older, you know. So, let me just see if I can turn this off. Hopefully,
yeah.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
No, that's okay. And then the other thing I wanted to just hear about, what would be great to share, is about your mum's friends and your mum's community. Do you remember that as well? Did she share about the friends that might have come over from St. Elizabeth or anywhere else in Jamaica?
My one auntie, she's still alive now. They were close friends from in school. She married my dad's cousin, so that's why she's my auntie. So, I'm just trying to think now. And of course, she knew my dad's family as well, because he was, I'm sure it's like when I was 14, maybe he was, you know. So, they grew up together, they went to school together. Not so much out with them when they were in school, when they were older, maybe. And when they were in school, of course, they'd go home and they'd stay home and do what they had to do, and they wouldn't, you know, because money was scarce. And then
we're talking about community. Yeah, how did your mother become connected to Age Alive then?
So my mom, she knew Roy, she knew Vanessa Cyril, I'm pretty sure it started. Was Age Alive started before she went? I know she used to go to exercise class down in the Pentecostal church down in Peel, where many of them went, and some of the Asians. And I'm not too sure if Age Alive was born, I wouldn't say born out of that, but I know they did things together. I'm trying to think how she did get, because one of the respected, I suppose, members of the community asked to come on board, you know, to help build up Age Alive community, say, because it's a little community by itself. After that, I'm not sure.
Okay. What about after? Yeah, the gathering and they're getting connected. Was there activities and things that they did that your mum?
They did. They did trips out. They'd have mornings where they would do cooking different recipes. They'd have well-being sessions, health sessions, where they might ask an expert to come in and talk. Roy was very good with the pen and wrote plays and stuff, which they acted at. I remember my mum did do one of his plays, which I missed. I can't remember why I missed it. They used to do different things.
What do you think Age Alive meant to your mum?
Well, it's another community. It's another thing for her to do. Of course, she was responsible for collecting money for I can't remember what it was, not quite treasurer, but she did collect money. I don't know what for, off them, and kept a log of that. Mm-hmm. So that was responsibility on her part to do that. So yeah, it meant a lot. It was the community that she felt safe with, and she could do things and help out with, because that's the sort of person she was.
And at the same time, even as you described your mum, how do you think that, why do you think that was important as a form of like mechanism for black people, for those that come from the Caribbean, for those that come from countries in Asia as well? Why do you think that this was important for them to have as a support mechanism?
Well, because in the UK you can feel isolated being an ethnic minority if you're not careful. A lot of clubs and societies are built towards, you like to say, white folk, and maybe and like and which not necessarily how Caribbean Asians are brought up. They're used to a different culture, a different lifestyle, and so they wanted to maintain that culture and maintain that lifestyle. You know, music is different, the way they behave is different as well. I mean, Jamaica don't go down a pub every week. You know, they didn't see that. They actually didn't even go clubbing, like, which is different from what that's what I would do. But so to them, and it's keeping a heritage in a way alive. You know, with the different foodstuffs and, you know, because that was one of the things when they came over here, was the difficulty of finding Caribbean foods. You know, they're not, you know, yes, they used to call it Irish potato, so yes, Irish potato was fine, but like baked beans, I remember my dad, that was it, he was going to run out shopping, and my mum put baked beans in the trolley. And then my dad, I was like, what is this? Because he didn't eat baked beans, but we as children ate baked beans, and he didn't get it. He was like, what is this? Why do we need this? Because my mum's spending his money, hard earned money, on this type of food, so he needs to know what it was. You know, and my mum says, this is what the children eat. You don't eat it, but he did in the end. He would eat it in the end, you know. So, but at the start, I remember having this little discussion in the middle of Tesco's, you know, about baked beans. I'm like, it's just baked beans. Just put it back in the trolley. Just be done with it. Of course, as a young child, I couldn't say that. You know, I said, I'd get a slap. So, yeah, you know, so yeah.
And it just reminded me, that means they were able to see the transformation of Newport as well,
Yeah.
and the transformation of the area as well.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're born in Newport then.
Yeah.
So the same for yourself as well, you've been able to see that transformation as well. How was that? Was that ever talked about between your dad, between your father and your mother, about Newport changing, people
Well,
coming in?
yeah, because they started to have these little Caribbean, not just your nights out now. I mean, if I remember rightly, like in the early 1930s, 1990s, okay, all these this heritage thing started to be more prominent in the news and in the media and within society as a whole, okay, because we'd had enough of the racism, we've had enough of just being trodden on, we needed to be more respected. So they started having these little meetings and stuff at various places. I remember my cousin Tony Smith, he had a restaurant in a West Indian Caribbean restaurant in just in the town centre, and he used to go there to he'd have like opening up for them to have these meetings and stuff, so yeah, so they could talk about how they could improve things for themselves as a Caribbean unit, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, it's refreshing to even hear those type of things that were existing then that set the foundation for what we have kind of today, and what still holds strong, as much as, yeah, the new generation elsewhere and things like that, that's what's still maintaining them
Things,
and still,
exactly, yeah.
again, it grounds them and holds them into place. And yeah, this is kind of all the questions that I was there. And the other thing I was just thinking, was there anything in the eulogy or anything you were thinking as well that you would
Well, I keep
like to share?
forgetting, okay, because I'm in this big 4-bedroom house now, and it's got a massive garden, and that's one of the reasons my parents moved from appeal to over where I live now was because my dad loved to grow his veg, and you know, grow fresh fruit as well if he could. So they liked gardening. Of course, that was something that was done at home as well. Back in Jamaica, they used to grow their own food, and you know, then of course they'd have their different trees: coconut tree, your mango tree, your ackee tree, and all that. You know, admittedly they couldn't grow all that over here because of the weather, but a lot of them, okay, because I remember my dad had, when he was lived down Pill, he had allotments, that's it. He had an allotment, because the house would they owned, it didn't have much of a garden, so he rented an allotment and he used to grow a lot, you know, like I said, fresh fruit and veg and salad stuff, you know. And then, but then they decided to move, because my mum wanted to move, so my dad said, on the revisal, I have a massive garden, and that's what he had. He got this massive garden, and at the moment I'm looking at it thinking, oh, I need to get it cut, sorted now. You know, so yeah, of course my mum also involved in the local church that she joined years and years ago. Being a nurse, she had, what do they call it? I should know, DBS, what's it?
Yeah. CRB.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So she had all that. So she used to help in the creche. She also helped in the kitchen to serve teas and coffees on a Sunday evening, you know, or like whenever they had whatever event on at the church. So that was all important to her. Her work was important to her while she was doing it. She would support Vanessa in improving things for black nurses, or you know, ethnic minorities within the Welsh country here. So, and she was always like backing, and she'd be like, and perhaps she would just help and escort or go with Vanessa to any events, doings that, you know, that Vanessa had asked her to go to, you know. So yeah, she would, you know, in the latter years, when she retired, I'd answer ill. My auntie now, that the one I just talked to you about, that she was good friends with, she was going to see them once a week, just to make sure they're okay and if they needed anything. You know, always on the other end of a phone as well. I think it's not that I didn't think she did. She struggled when COVID came along, because that restricted her, because she was of that age where the government said, you need to stay inside now. And that was hard for her, especially as with me, I was up and out. I was doing loads of things through COVID. I'd come in, teach my lesson, plan my lessons, but I'd be gone out then, running around, doing shopping for her, shopping for other people, going, doing prescriptions. Me and another guy, we used to get orders for fish, and then when it come, we'd be delivering it then to the community. Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing loads of things, you know, so yeah, I was just like, I used to do hot meals. I'm part of a Caribbean community where we provide, at the time, we were doing once a fortnight, providing hot meals to the vulnerable and the elderly, which included my mum. She'd get a hot meal as well. But yeah, you know, and we still do it from time to time, because we had money off the National Lottery. We got money out of, what's his name? Lenny Henry, was it?
Children in Need.
No.
No?
The joke one,
one in
March. No, it's the one in March where the comedians and all funny things.
Comic relief.
We had many of Comic Relief as well. So yeah, all that, so we could do these things, you know. Mm-hmm. At Christmas, it was, my mum knew, because I had stuff delivered to the house, but I told her to keep her mouth shut, because we gave them hampers, Christmas hampers, but they were West Indian hampers. They had West Indian foodstuffs in them. You know, none of your turkey in there. It was a tin of ackee, tin of callaloo, tin. It was like, yeah, your beans for your kidney beans for your peas, rice and peas, and yeah, all that stuff. And then but the police were really good because Gwent Police donated. They're like blankets, not blankets, they don't call it blankets, but it's like, I can't think.
Yeah.
Okay, like you sew, throws, that's what they throw,
okay, yeah.
Throws and stuff like that, yeah. They all had a Christmas card in there and they loved it. They thought it was amazing that they could have something that meant to more to them.
Than
a normal, because they were thinking they're getting this hamper and like, and when they opened it, it was totally...
Yeah, not very really representative of them whatsoever.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So this was them. You know, this was So it was best thing I've ever loved doing. It was like one of my favorite things we did through COVID was to give them Christmas hampers and they loved it. Mm. Yeah. So yeah.
Mm. That's fantastic. And the minute that you said that, then I was just thinking, yeah, that's absolutely brilliant because that would mean a lot for them.
Well, of course,
to
it did.
See that.
Exactly, they did. You know, so yeah. And even went, we even gave, because like there were certain people on work, because we've got a list of people, and there were certain people who didn't want a meal every fortnight. So, you know, oh, that was it. Went through COVID. I remember thinking, right, I'll make the phone call. I phone up and I say, oh, is Yvette so and so, and I'll be like, oh, how are you? Yeah. And I said, how's your mum? My mum said, my mum's fine. Is she there? So one phone call, which I'm thinking, because I've got loads of phone calls to make, will be 5-10 minutes. No, was taking half an hour, if not an hour, because they got to chat to my mum on my phone. Because I'm on my mobile now, and I've got to hand my mobile to my mum.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, please. But hurry up. I've got next one. Because then they'll be the same thing. And she'll chat to them, because it's like, oh, you know. So in the end, we had to find... not strangers as such, but people who didn't know them so much in the community to make the phone calls because the most of us knew them, and of course they all wanted to talk, and of course they all know the mum and the dad, and they all want to chat, and it's like, you know, and that's what we've done. That's why we tried to run events. We did a couple of online events as well, where we invited them along online, but that was the other thing. None of them couldn't get online because they didn't have the resources.
Yeah.
They didn't have like the internet. You know, we did. I'm sure we put in for. I don't know. We put in for like somewhere that where we applied for money to buy resources and put internet into those people who didn't have access.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that came to fruition at all. So. Yeah, that was a bit disappointing, you know. So, and I'm sure it's something we'll look at again, you know, because there's still vulnerable people out there, just limited, you know. So yeah, it was, you know, like my mum, she didn't miss church because I was online. We had internet in the house, so and I just literally bought a tablet so that she could go online then, and she wouldn't miss her church services and her prayer meetings or whatever meeting she had. So yeah. You know, but not everybody's lucky to have somebody like me, you know, around. So,
I agree. And as you're sharing the different type of perspective during that time as well, in terms of, preserving the stories that you're even sharing now of your mum having those phone calls, because you enabled her to then have the catch up that she would normally be having.
Yeah, when she was out.
So it's really, really nice that was there for her.
Don't get me wrong, she got a phone in the house, so she did keep in contact, but not, you know, it's the ones that she would never had rarely see.
Yeah.
Maybe then she'd be like, oh no, Mike, it's half hour, and it's like, oh please, ma'am, I've got things to do.
there's a list I'm gonna go through.
You know, so and I know as time went on, she did, like, I know when like I was doing my fish delivery, she came out with me to you know, help me do my fish delivery. Well, she collect the money and I just deliver the fish. So it was helpful, and I think the first time I actually took her out, she didn't really believe me, because like she liked to shop in Sainsbury's, but I wouldn't go to Sainsbury's because they didn't have like a set time for people to go shop. Whereas like I know Tesco's was to shop for old age pensioners, and I could get away with it because I was shopping for old age pensioners. Like so I used to go early in the morning, but like I had to take her over Sainsbury's and show her the queue, and she couldn't believe it how long the queue was, and I'm like, so are we gonna wait? And I knew sure she was gonna say, she said no. You know, I said, you know, and I'm like, so I said, we'll go over Asda's like 9. Why have we gotta go so late? I told you, the queue's 9 o'clock. It'll be all clear. You know, and when I took her over there, and she's like, oh yeah, it's clear. I said, yeah, because I know, I got used to looking, you know, I haven't shopped, I've been around, I haven't seen it. I remember like within the first week, she had a prescription in Boots. I stood for an hour and a half outside Boots. My back was killing me then. I already had a bad back, and my back was killing me because I wanted to get a prescription. But after that, I sorted it, so that I could pick up a prescription, take it to the chemist across the road. No, take it into Boots. There were certain times I would take it in, but you know, but like, and then collect it then, because I'm saying she's an old age pensioner, she needs to, and I haven't got time to be standing around. I was a key worker, so I could get around as well.
Being
a teacher, I was a key worker. So yeah.
No, brilliant. Thank you.
That's okay.
Thank you so much for sharing.
That's all right.
I don't know if there was anything else as well that you wanted to.
Just check.
Yeah, have a little.
Yeah.
Great stories.
If you remember a Shalom group, a lot of the Age of Lives are part of this Shalom group as well, where they do a lot of exercises and stuff.
Okay.
So they got professionals doing exercises, and that was done online as well, because I remember my mum setting up the tablet on the table, and she got a chair, and she's got all the little balls or whatever, so she could, yeah, so that was interesting as well, to see her do that as well. So yeah, she did that, yeah. And then, of course, when my dad died, she maintained the garden. She did very well. She grew her own veg as well, and stuff. She only did a small part of the garden. Whereas my dad did the whole. Actually, my dad actually looked after out his garden and next door, and they were about the same. And him and the vet, because there was a vet was to live two doors away, and his garden was like at the back of our garden, right spread across three gardens it did. So yeah, and Christmas, that was it, Christmas, he would supply the sprouts, my dad would supply the carrots, and he'd be like, oh gosh, what else are we having on our plate? But yeah, it was really interesting and really good that he got on with, you know, everybody then, you know, and the baker would supply the bread, because there was a baker who lived, we had a bakery across the road, and he even supplies me free bread now. I get free bread every week. Brilliant. I take it into work and say, anybody want fresh bread? And they'd be like, where do you get all this bread? And I says, baker. I know a baker.
So it's a community.
Exactly.
That's still that community holding strong.
Yes, exactly.
Now, thank you
That's
once
okay.
again for sharing.
Yeah. All right. Got everything you needed?
Indeed.